just it was seemed curious, and it's not really a point of issue. Just
are there any questions of the petitioner? Hearing none. Is there any public comment?
One moment, I apologize. We have Holly Kincannon from Historic Savannah Foundation.
Okay. Your comment, sir? Are there any?
Holly, if you're unmuted, you can go ahead and speak.
Do we have her on in communication?
She's there and she's showing as unmuted, but we're not getting any sound through. Holly, if you can hear me, there should be a phone number that was on the email you received that should allow you to call in.
I have a question of staff. By connecting these two structures with a walkway, will that combine the square footage of both buildings into one, or will they remain separate?
They're separate. There's no roof structure over this, so it doesn't actually count towards any of the footprint.
Thank you. Okay, shall we move ahead?
I guess if Holly is able to maybe send in on the chat feature. Okay, it looks like we're waiting to see if we get a response from her, but there is no other public comment other than Holly.
Okay. Is there any, while we're waiting, is there any other board discussion on this matter? Okay, sorry for the difficulty, but we're going to have to move ahead. The discussion is closed. May I ask for a motion to close the discussion and a motion to accept the staff recommendations? Can I have a motion, please?
This is Chelsea Jackson Green. I make a motion to close the discussion and approve staff's recommendations for 15 West 37th Street with
This is Durham Bagley-Heath. I second that motion.
Thank you. Are there any objections to accepting the motion before the commission? Hearing none, the motion is accepted. Number 12, a petition for 507 East 36th Street, new construction.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. This is Olivia Refuso again. I will be presenting the next two items together. These will be the petitions for new construction, small parts one and two, for two identical two-story single-family detached residences on the vacant parcels at 507 and 509 East 36th Street. These residences will be 28 feet, 2 inches in height and 20 feet wide. The applicant is also requesting a special exception from the standard that states in a single-family detached, single-family attached, two-family attached, three-family, four-family, and townhouse dwellings, the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 11 feet, and the height of the upper stories shall not be less than 9 feet, to allow for the first story to have an exterior expression of 9 feet, 1 inch. So regarding the base zoning district standards, staff has determined that the new construction is not meeting the minimum building frontage requirement of 70% for the TN2 zoning district. The proposed building frontage of the new construction is 66.7%. Therefore, staff recommends reducing the 5 feet side yard setback so that the standard is met. The front yard is proposed to align with the block face, and the rear yard will have a setback of 22 feet, 8 inches. As far as visual compatibility goes, the proposed height, width, and scale are typical of single-family residences in the vicinity. The special exception that the applicant is requesting will allow for the first story to have an exterior expression of 9 feet, 1 inch, to ensure that there is unity with the adjacent historic buildings to which the new construction will be visually related. Staff has determined that there is a disproportionate number of openings on the second story front facade in comparison to the overall rhythm and solid to void ratio apparent on the neighboring historic buildings. Staff recommends revising the design so that the second story door aligns with the first story door and the window on the second story currently above the main entrance be removed. In regard to the design standards, the height and mass floor to floor standard is not met due to the proposed first floor height of 9 feet, 1 inch. Therefore, the applicant is requesting a special exception from this standard. The foundation will have a white sand stucco finish. Staff would like the applicant to ensure that the infill material between the piers is recessed a minimum of 3 inches behind the front edge of the pier so that the piers are clearly visible and differentiated. The windows are proposed to be ply gem mirror series. A bay window is proposed on the front facades and a square accent window on the west side facades. Staff determined that the side facades do not have the required 30% fenestrations on the ground floor. The applicant must revise both side facades to have at least 30% fenestrations. The doors are proposed to be wood and glass. However, exact material specifications were not provided to staff. The HVAC and electrical meter boxes will be located in the rear yard. On the southeast corner of the building, the refuse is proposed to be located along the lane. The applicant must relocate this onto private property and ensure that the HVAC units and refuse are both screened from the public right of way. No fences are visible in the drawings provided to staff, but material specifications were included for fencing. The applicant must submit the appropriate checklist and information if fences are to be installed. All other design elements were determined by staff to meet the standards. After reviewing the special exception request using the review criteria for special exceptions, staff recommends approval for this special exception. Staff has determined that the adjacent contributing resources have a first story exterior expression that is visually less than 11 feet. Two identical detached residences with first floor heights of 11 feet will alter the overall appearance of the general vicinity. The proposed height would be more historically appropriate for this area. Staff does not recommend any additional conditions, restrictions, or safeguard for the special exception. So staff is recommending this petition be continued for new construction, small parts one and two, for a two-story single-family detached residence on the vacant parcels at 507 and 509 East 36th Street to the April 28th, 2021 Historic Preservation Commission regular meeting in order for the applicant to address the following. One, reduce the side yard setback so that the 70% minimum building frontage requirement is met. Two, revise the design so that the second story door aligns with the first story door and the window on the second story currently above the door is removed. Three, revise both side facades to have at least 30% fenestrations on the ground floor. Four, ensure that the infill material between the porch piers is recessed a minimum of 3 inches behind the front edge of the pier so that the piers are clearly visible and differentiated. If the proposed windows are simulated divided light, ensure that the muntin is 7/8 inches or less, that the muntin profile simulates traditional putty glazing, that the lower sash rail is wider than the meeting top rails, and that there is a spacer bar in between double panes of glass. Six, ensure that all framing members are covered with appropriate trim and that all window glass is transparent with no dark tints or reflective effects. Seven, provide door specifications. Eight, ensure that the distances between balusters do not exceed 4 inches on center. Nine, relocate the refuse onto private property. Ensure that the HVAC units and refuse are screened from any public right of way. Submit the screening design. 10, if fences are to be installed, ensure that the appropriate checklist and all required supplemental information is submitted to staff prior to installation. And approval of the request for a special exception from the following standard. In single family detached, single family attached, two family attached, three family, four family, and townhouse dwellings, the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 11 feet, and the height of the upper stories shall not be less than 9 feet, to allow for the first story to have an exterior expression of 9 feet 1 inch, because the special exception criteria are met. Thank you, and I now open for any questions.
Are there any questions from the commission?
Yes, this is Jerry. I think there were more drawings in the set than what we've seen in this presentation. Could you show all the drawings, please?
This is the foundation plan, the first floor plan, the elevations. The framing plan, the ceiling framing plan. For the second floor as well. Those are all the drawings that were submitted to staff.
My reason for asking that is there are hand-done drawings in the set. There are computer-generated drawings in the set. And I think what's happened here is this building is being recycled from some other location. I don't know if there's any prohibition from doing that, but I think it sort of points out that the things that we are seeing presented to this commission and being built in these various historic districts that we are supposed to be influencing are not really being done for these locations. They're just kind of the easy way out. I'm really concerned about the quality of what we're getting and the sort of lack of respect for the qualities of the three districts that we are reviewing projects for. And they're sort of being treated like second-class citizens, I think. That just kind of concerns me, that's all. I would like to see things much more imaginatively done. And I also have a question. Does increasing the size of the building, that give us a lot coverage problem?
No. And Jerry, I'm sorry, this is Ryan. I can actually clarify one of the comments you had with these being, I think you referred to them as some sort of recycled drawings. These two structures were actually approved previously to be constructed on these sites. This is coming back because those items did expire and they were reviewed under a different ordinance. So that's why, again, there are so many conditions and all these things, but these items have been seen by the MPC and were approved previously.
By a different group of people.
Oh, but they were approved at a different location. So you are correct in that. I apologize for sitting in the same location. These two buildings were approved at a different location previously. And so these drawings are being utilized again because those items, again,
okay,
are older.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't really change my concerns about the quality.
I know. I apologize. I was just clarifying to assist in telling you that these are, in fact, you know, reused drawings.
Okay, thank you.
Is the petitioner present?
Yes, I am.
We ask that you limit your time to 10 minutes or less and address only those items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board.
Sure, certainly. Let me just, talk about Mr. Lomax's comment and just make reference to these drawings are similar to the ones that you were referring to that were already submitted. It's not the same plan. It's a different plan, although the front elevations do look very similar. They're a smaller rendition of what the other house was. And I just had a couple questions on the side yard setback that was referenced in the comment to, I guess it's number one, actually. Yeah, it says to reduce the side yard setback. So you want the building larger, is that? So you want the buildings closer together?
Correct. So reduce the side yard setback from 5 feet.
Okay. All right. And that's in the... That's in the ordinance for the setbacks to be a 3 foot setback there. I thought they were average.
So they need to be a minimum of 3 feet. So staff's recommending reducing the side yard setback so that the 70% minimum building frontage requirement is met.
Okay. All right. because I know the only reason I'm stunned is because I guess it was, and I guess that's part of what was just being said about something being approved by someone else, that they were approved at 5 foot in the past. But here, see the fire code for 3 stories. Side yard setbacks will have to be 5 foot the front yard. Sorry, I'm actually just reading because I didn't get to see it before. 5 foot.
This is Ryan again. I can just clarify a little more on that. It's not necessarily that the setback isn't okay. It's that you weren't meeting that 70% minimum building frontage. So staff's recommendation at that point was to utilize that allowable 3 foot minimum to meet that 70% minimum building frontage requirement. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I'm just trying to, so you need more coverage on the lot is what?
Yeah. So it's showing that for new construction, you're required a 70% building frontage on that lot. And I believe staff calculated that you had a lower number. What does it say here? A 66.7%. So it's just increasing the building frontage, and you are allowed that 3 foot minimum. So staff is utilizing that to allow for you to gain that 70% maximum or minimum building frontage.
It's a little harder to meet fire code at that, but okay. All right. Would there be another special? I mean, I don't know. To allow me to stay there at that 60, I mean, was it a couple percent off? The building area.
That would, since this is in the base zoning, it would be a variance. You would have to apply for a variance, yeah.
Okay. I think there's already a variance for that because it was a minimum lot. The minimum lot required wasn't met either, but okay, I'll look at that. Thank you very much. And then my other question was regarding the front elevation with the door, the window being over the door and the other door being offset where it's inside the room if you look on the floor plan. So if you look at the floor plan, the master bathroom, the upstairs one, second floor. So the master bathroom is where that window is, off to the very far right inside the master bathroom, correct? And the door would be just to the left of that.
So regarding that, staff is recommending to take that window out altogether and move the placement of the door so that the two doors on the front facade were in line with each other.
Okay.
So that it's more compatible with one of the neighboring properties.
Neighboring properties, okay. So suggesting to come through the bathroom to enter the balcony? Or I guess I'll just have to redesign that top floor there to try and make that door happen in that place.
Yeah, staff unfortunately has no purview over what the interior use is of that space or the interior layout. So we just solely base it on exterior compatibility.
Okay. Not a problem. And then I think that was really good regarding design and stuff. There wasn't anything about any of the side elevations or I didn't get a chance to see any of the recommendations until just now, so or hear about them. Sure the framing pins. Okay. All right. Nothing that's not doable. I really appreciate your time.
Are there any questions of the board?
This is Rebecca. I was just going to ask about the trim for the windows and the doors. I think staff comment number 5. No, number 6 speaks to that a little bit, but not to the doors. And we get a lot of new construction drawings without door and window trim. And even if not required on doors, I think that it it adds a nice uniformity and compatibility with historic structures.
Yes, so, agreed. Yeah, and we did have that on that window. Yeah, I apologize. We didn't have a detail for the trim over the doors, but it's the same trim as over the windows with the full letter and the little ledge there.
Yeah, if the revised drawings could show that, that would be fabulous.
Not a problem.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, is there anyone who would like to make a public comment?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes. Yes, this is Holly Kincannon, and really sorry about the radio silence and delay earlier. But I'm here on behalf of Historic Savannah Foundation and as a member of the Architectural Review Committee. And we just a little housekeeping. The design of the two houses at 507 East 36 are shown differently from the street view elevations as compared to the front elevations, and we're just assuming that's an oversight and have referred mostly to the larger front elevations. But regarding the proposed use of two types of roofing materials, we would like to recommend using only one type of material to be applied to both the principal roof, which is now currently specified as asphalt shingles, and then the smaller gable roof return is shown as metal roofing material. And we feel that the use of two materials will not produce a compatible design. Other concerns have to do with just encouraging the applicant to introduce elements that will help distinguish one house from the other. So perhaps change the use of square columns to round on one of the buildings, or find other ways in which you might add variety to distinguish the pair of structures. Our committee has also called out the need for a change in material at the top gable wall. So rather than infilling the wall area with flat siding, as I think it's shown, there was a little confusion about the notation there, but we would like to encourage more detail and possibly the use of shingles there. And then there's been some discussion about the windows, and we are in support of staff. We feel like additional windows should be added to the sides and rear facades. It appears that many of the rooms are lacking in natural lighting. So we'd like to see an addition of windows there. But also the light patterns that are shown on the drawings seem overly complicated. And so we'd like to recommend using maybe a 6/6 pattern or less, and feel that might be more appropriate. And then just in general, you know, in terms of like introducing a way to distinguish one house from the other, we would like you to consider maybe creating a mirror image in terms of the front facade so that they're not mimicking each other. They're not an exact copy of each other, so that they would basically mirror 509 and 507 would have a different orientation of the bay and the front door. And that's it. Thank you.
No, yes, ma'am. That won't be a problem. We would definitely do that. I'm not, you know, opposed to the having one roof material. It's actually easier for me. I just thought it was more of a detail there. And as far as what I can do is definitely change up the columns in the front, maybe the spindles and the handrails and everything to have one square and one maybe a little bit more ornamented. Those aren't things that are a problem. as far as the windows on the sides, all the bedrooms. All the bedrooms have two windows in them. I think maybe, unfortunately, the my historic drawings here from my architect, I believe he missed one window on that elevation on the top right there. The other side is staircase and, you know, bathroom and closet. So, but I'll definitely take what you said about, I'll flip the design on the front. I'll flip the whole house so they actually do mirror each other. So I'll definitely take everything that you recommended into consideration and make those changes there. Not a problem.
Are there any other questions or discussion? I have a question for staff. Number 13, are the recommendations for number 13 the same as those for number 12?
Yes, correct.
Can we consider the two at the same time?
Someone could make a motion to approve both item number 12 and item number 13.
Are there any questions or objections from members of the commission concerning the combining of the two 12 and 13 petitions? And then I'm going to ask for the staff to repeat their recommendations before we go any further. Hearing no objections to combining the two, would you repeat your recommendations, please?
So staff is recommending to continue the petitions for new construction, small parts one and two, for a two-story single-family detached residence on the vacant parcels at 507 and 509 East 36th Street to the April 2021 Historic Preservation Commission regular meeting, in order for the applicant to address the following. One, reduce the side yard setbacks so that the 70% minimum building frontage requirement is met. Two, revise the design so that the second story door aligns with the first story door and the window on the second story currently above the door is removed. Three, revise both side facades to have at least 30% fenestrations on the ground floor. Four, ensure that the infill material between the porch piers is recessed a minimum of 3 inches behind the front edge of the pier so that the piers are clearly visible and differentiated. Five, if the proposed windows are simulated divided lights, ensure that the muntin is 7/8 inches or less, that the muntin profile simulates traditional putty glazing, that the lower sash rail is wider than the meeting slash top rails, and that there is a spacer bar in between double panes of glass. Six, ensure that all framing members are covered with appropriate trim and that all window glass is transparent with no dark tints or reflective effects. Seven, provide door specifications. Eight, ensure that the distances between balusters does not exceed 4 inches on center. Nine, relocate the refuse on private property. Ensure that the HVAC units and refuse are both screened from any public right of way. Submit the screening design. 10, if fences are to be installed, ensure that the appropriate checklist and all required supplemental information is submitted to staff prior to installation. And approval of the request for a special exception from the following standard: in single family detached, single family attached, two family attached, three family, four family, and townhouse dwellings, the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 11 feet, and the height of the upper stories shall not be less than 9 feet, to allow for the first story to have an exterior expression of 9 feet 1 inch because the special exception criteria are met.
Are there any questions from the commission about the staff recommendation? If not, can I have a motion?
This is Jerry Lomnack. I have one question, and it really is, part of this, because there's so many items listed. I think one of the things that concerns me is if all of these things are done, then does the project comply, or are these recommendations and the whole resubmittal should be reviewed as to it having better resolved the overall design of the project? Doing these are very specific, and if you do them, it may not be any better. Can it be done better than this? Can they do it in a different way and eliminate the criticisms or the concerns because they have found a better solution than those that are listed in these recommendations? Does that make sense?
With the details that are outlined in the staff recommendation to assure that the standards are met, this item, as well as 509, would need to be continued and brought back with the revisions for review.
But they can revise it in a way other than these specifically recommended ways. Is that not correct?
They have to address the issues that are outlined in the staff recommendation.
Okay. And also, Historic Savannah Foundation, I think, brought up some very good points that certainly should be considered very seriously by the applicant. And I think the applicant expressed the willingness to do that.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this issue? We're going to address 507 East 36th Street first. So I need a motion on each one of these individually, even though they have the same recommendation from staff.
I thought we had combined them.
Well, we did combine them, and then I got corrected that we had to vote on them separately.
That's correct. This is Ryan. I spoke incorrectly.
We can do one or two. Okay. We have to have two different motions. Would someone please make a motion?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion that we continue the project at 507 East 36th Street to allow the applicant to address staff comments.
And a second.
This is Haley Swindle. I'll second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to approving staff recommendations as listed? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Now we will move on to 509 East 36th Street. Do I have a motion on staff recommendation?
This is Haley Swindle. I'll motion that we move forward with staff recommendations.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
This is Darren Bagley Heath. I second the motion.
Are there any objections to accepting staff recommendation on 509 East 36th Street? Hearing none, the motion is accepted. Item 14, a petition for 202 West 42nd Street, new construction.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Ryan. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a two-story single-family dwelling to be located on a vacant parcel at 202 West 42nd Street. So that's going to be right here. This petition actually is next door to the next petition you'll be seeing, but I will be presenting these separately. So you'll first hear 202 and you'll make a motion on that one, and then you'll hear from 204 and make a motion on that one. So historically, I'm going to pull up this for you here. Historically, this parcel consisted of two single family buildings facing Barnard Street. They were wood-sided and two stories with 1 and 2 story front porches. The surrounding historic context consists of wood-sided, two-story single, and two-family buildings. They have large 1 and 2 story front porches with a variety of roof shapes from hip to front gable. And I'm just going to kind of scroll through those so you can see what I'm talking about, the context through the neighborhood. When looking at the base zoning standards, there was some stuff going through here, so I'm just going to give a little bit of background before I kind of go into that. The lots that you're seeing here, we did originally receive this application with the intent to be heard at the January 2021 HPC meeting. However, once staff began to begin the review, it was discovered that the recently subdivided lots, which were subdivided in November 2019, were not large enough to accommodate single-family detached buildings per the base zoning standards. So staff reviewed the subdivision approval and discovered that the subdivision was approved with the condition that either a semi-attached building must be located here or that a request or a variance must be sought from the Zoning Board of Appeals. Therefore, staff requested that the applicant either redesign to be attached or apply for that variance. And the applicant did apply for and receive approval for the variance February 25th of 2021 for the single family detached home. So therefore it is now permitted is what I'm saying. When looking into the visual compatibility criteria, specifically at height, although it's not as tall as the contributing buildings, the two parcels to the west, the height is found to be visually compatible. When looking at the window openings, all windows are proposed to be taller than they are wide. And then when looking at projections, the full width two-story front porches with the side hall front entrance are common features in the district. You saw that when I was scrolling through those research images. You'll see that there are fences proposed on the property. They are not shown as whether or not they were to be painted or stained. So staff is just requesting that those be painted or stained as a condition. When looking at floor to floor heights, they are appropriate, and as well as the foundation height was found to be appropriate, although smaller than normal, it does meet neighboring and adjacent foundation heights as well. When looking at materials, the siding is shown to be a smooth fiber cement horizontal lap siding, and that is appropriate for new construction. The windows were proposed as Windsor aluminum clad with clear glass. Again, that is previously approved and is appropriate. When looking at doors and entrances, for materials, a solid wood 6-panel front door is proposed. No material information was provided for the rear door, so staff will be requesting that information. When looking at the porch, the balcony here, and the two front porches, all porch elements are proposed to be painted wood. So that, again, is appropriate. Just bear with me while I flip some pages. There is a light fixture proposed. You can see here in the drawings on the front facade. A specification was not provided within the submittal packet, so staff is requesting that material specification. And you will see sort of an odd feature here in the rear. This is a parking area proposed in the rear. The parking area, like I said, is proposed in the rear. The site does not have access to a lane. In the standard state where lane access is not available, a driveway shall be permitted from the street, provided that it is a ribbon strip design, and the driveway shall be no wider than 12 feet. The driveway proposed here is actually proposed as 22 feet wide, so that's a 22-foot curb cut here, to allow two vehicles to park side by side. The standard obviously is not met. However, the adjacent property does not have a means to access any form of driveway. So the property will have a parking easement for the other property. So this is an existing easement that was part of that subdivision that was shown before. So staff recommends that the applicant apply for a special exception for a future HPC meeting to allow for the 22-foot wide curb cut and parallel driveways. Because of the unique configuration of the lots, this is staff finds to be the most appropriate way to deal with that. So staff's recommendation, and those are just the different things there. So staff's recommendation is approval for the petitioner for the petition for new construction, small parts 1 and 2, for a two-story single-family dwelling to be located on the vacant parcel at 202 West 42nd Street with the following conditions, because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. First condition being ensure that the fences are painted or stained. 2, provide the material specification for the rear door and ensure that it is wood or wood clad. 3, provide a specification for the light fixture shown on the front facade and ensure that it is metal and glass and has a white light source. 4, remove the existing curb cut and reinstate the curb, tree lawn, and sidewalk to match existing and provide a revised site plan to staff. And 5, apply for a special exception to a future HPC meeting to allow for the 22-foot wide curb cut and 2 adjacent driveways. And I open for any questions from the board.
Are there any questions?
This is Rebecca. It looked like the Sanborn maps were showing that historically the lots were oriented differently. Is that right?
That is correct. They previously did face Barnard Street.
So and forgive me if I missed it, but there was a time then that decision was made, you know, I guess at the city level, that they be oriented the other way. Is there a predecessor house that we know of that faced, what street is this?
To answer that question, the two facing Barnard Street here prior to that did not exist. There was nothing on that lot. So there was no predecessor on this property specifically. And the subdivision was applied for and was approved by the ZBA. So you can see that here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Here it is.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
And just one more thing, Rebecca, I apologize. You can ask the petitioner why they had made the decision to apply for them to face that direction instead of the historic Barnard Street facing direction.
Okay, I have one question before we move on to the petitioner. The easement for parking for the second house, does that remove that parcel permanently from the first house, or is it just a gentleman's agreement?
It's a legal easement, so they will have legal access to this location, this space.
Show the subdivision.
You can see the parking easement here.
Yeah.
In okay. This parcel.
Where is the existing curb cut?
You can see that as well here in this drawing. The existing curb cut is here. So let me go to, you can see the existing curb cut, and this is where the new curb cut is proposed.
Okay. Is having that curb cut in a new location, does it require a variance? Because unless it's changed, the original standards for the district did not allow for new curb cuts.
I apologize, this is Leah. I literally just ran back into the room from a court hearing. So this was actually my case. So new curb cuts are permitted in the district if the site does not have access to a lane. These sites do not have access to a lane. However, they're only allowed to be a maximum of 12 feet wide, but this is a unique condition in that there's no way to park the required parking on the other parcel unless they both pull in from the street. So they were granted a parking easement in that location. And as the staff recommendation states, wherever it went, we are suggesting that they apply for a special exception, which is the HPC's term for a variance, to you to allow for the 22-foot wide curb cut.
All right, is the petitioner present?
Yes, this is John Sumner.
We ask that you limit your time to 10 minutes or less and address only those items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board.
I'm on board with all the conditions, so I'm good to go. No other comments.
Are there any questions from the commission? Hearing none, are there any public comments?
Holly Kincannon for Historic Savannah Foundation.
Hello. So we, again, like the previous projects that we looked at, we are looking for more diversity in the two units, and we do appreciate the effort that's been made. There are distinctions in the front porch designs and then the window configurations, but we were wondering if there's a way to kind of push the variety a bit further. So our committee would like to recommend, again, the use of round columns on the front porch rather than the square columns that are shown. We feel that this will add interest and detail to the new building while also being keeping with the properties of the area. We do have another concern, and that's about the loss of tree canopy on this site. So we strongly encourage the applicant to retain the largest caliper trees, especially those nearest to the sidewalk and on the western edge of the property line. I think there are a couple oaks and even a palm tree. So those are our comments. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the board discussion? Hearing none, I ask for a motion to close the discussion. Do I have a motion to close?
I motion to close the discussion. This is Darren Bagley Heath.
And a second, please.
Rebecca Fenwick, a second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the discussion being closed? And then if not, may I have a motion on 202 West 42nd? Do I have a motion, please?
This is Chelsea Jackson Green. I make a motion to approve staff's recommendations with the conditions.
Do I have a second?
This is Jerry Lominack. I'll second it.
Do I have any comments, discussion on the motion that is before you to approve staff recommendation? Hearing none, the motion is approved. We now have to consider the item 2024 West 42nd Street. Do I have them? Oh. That has more.
Yeah, this one is not the same.
Okay, we need to have the presentation because this one has different recommendations.
I will be quick because it's the adjacent site, but it the building design, as you saw, is a little bit different, and the recommendation is a little bit different. So this is for this new construction building here. Again, it's a two-story single-family dwelling on this newly created vacant parcel. And as you saw in the previous one, so that's this one here now. So we do feel though, even though a little bit shorter than the contributing building in foundation and floor-to-floor heights, still is visually compatible and appropriate. Openings and front porches that are proposed are also appropriate. The fences weren't indicated to be painted, so that would be a condition. This one is also proposed to have smooth fiber cement lap siding and the Windsor aluminum clad windows. However, with this one, you can see that a 2/2 light pattern is proposed, and the ordinance requires very specific detailing and size of the muttons, so 7/8 inch or less, traditional putty glazing, those sorts of things, and that information wasn't provided. So we would ask that a more detailed specification regarding the Windsor window be provided to ensure that the mutton standards are being met. And a light fixture is shown, the same light fixture is shown, so we would need that specification here. The one thing that you'll notice that's obviously very different is that we don't have the site issue here like we did with this one. So staff is recommending staff is recommending to approve with the following conditions to be submitted to staff. One, ensure the fences are painted or stained. The second one's different. Ensure the Windsor windows have muttons that are 7/8 inch or less with a simulated traditional putty glazing profile, and that there's a spacer bar between the double panes of glass. And three, provide a specification for the light fixture. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. Obviously, this one wouldn't have to return for a special exception since the curb cut's on the other parcel.
Are there any questions of staff from the commission?
Excuse me.
Hearing none, is the petitioner present?
Yes, this is John Sumner.
At this time, we ask that you limit your comments to 10 minutes or less and address only those issues identified with the as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board.
I'm on board with the conditions stated by staff. I have no other comments.
Are there any questions of the commission of the petitioner? Hearing none, is there any public comment? Okay. Hearing no comment, I ask for a motion. I'm sorry, there is one.
Holly Kincannon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, we'd like to mention that we do agree with staff's recommendations, although we'd like to add in this case, our committee recommends that the applicant redesign the front porch roof, which is currently shown as a simple shed roof, and for it to become a hipped roof like the adjacent property. We believe this will add a greater level of detail and help distinguish it from the other infill proposal at 202. And we would also like to encourage the use of round columns or even another style of column to help articulate a higher level of design. And finally, we ask again that Savannah's lush and natural environment be protected, and please maintain, or retain the most mature trees on this property. Thank you.
Are there any comments or follow-up? Hearing none, the public comment period is closed. I ask for a motion on the item. May I have a motion to accept the staff recommendation on 204 West 42nd Street?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I move to approve the project at 204 West 42nd Street with staff's comments 1 through 3, as well as a consideration for those made by Historic Savannah Foundation.
Could you be more specific, please?
Ms. Fenwick?
Okay, do I need to repeat what I said?
Just yes. Be more specific about what the additional conditions are.
So I think the Historic Savannah Foundation was asking for an alteration of the roof, as well as care to retain mature trees that are already on the lot.
Okay, I don't know that we can address the trees in our recommendation, but we can address the roof shape.
Okay. Do I need to restate?
No, no.
Okay.
What we need is a second.
This is Jerry. I'll second the motion.
Do I hear any objection or discussion on the motion? Hearing none, the motion as read is approved. Thank you. Moving on to approved staff review items. Are there any questions or discussion from the commission on any of those items from 16 to 20 to 34. Hearing none, may I have a motion to accept the staff approved items?
This is Jerry Lominack. I'll make a motion to accept the staff's approved recommend submittals or applications.
Do I have a second?
This is Chelsea Jackson Green. I second.
Thank you. Do I hear any objections to the motion to accept staff's recommendations for the approval? To accept the approved staff review list. Hearing none, it is approved. No, there are no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments that I am aware of. Do we have any other business? We have one item of new business, the Kyla Brownsville Historic Resource Map presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'll be brief. Some of you may be aware of this project that's been going on since 2018, and some of you may not, but we'll take a look at it. So in 2018, we as in the city of Savannah, as the certified local government, received a grant to begin resurveying the Kyla Brownsville Historic District. That ended up in a second grant because of the size of the district. In 2019, the consultant that we hired to do the survey, Ward Architecture and Preservation, completed the survey at the end of 2020 and had a list. They have many recommendations, and this is the MPC acting on the first of many recommendations, which was to add a list of 90 buildings. I'll show it this way. Basically, 90 buildings were found in the district, in the current local boundary, that were within the current period of significance that had either been not surveyed in the past or overlooked because of, in the past, we didn't take as close a look as outbuildings as we do now. Another reason for that is that when this area was brought into the local district, it was a full survey was never completed. So you can actually see that the bulk of the buildings we're recommending to be added are in that that local expansion area. So we are proposing we've applied for a text amendment to the map to the MPC board, who at the April 27th MPC meeting will make a recommendation to City Council regarding this map amendment. We are meeting with the Neighborhood Association via conference call on April 6th. They've been involved with this project since the beginning. And we also are in the process of sending out, it's a newspaper requirement for public notification, but we also sent out a letter to every single one of these 90 property owners. Leading up to the MPC meeting on April 27th, we'll, accept comments, and then there'll be a public meeting regarding this. And we included this information with the mail outs. Just sort of explain what's the difference between a historic building and a non-historic building, because some of the standards within the review process will change with these 90 buildings that are added. The standards are a little bit different for a historic building. So we broke it down a little bit, and then we also included the list of all 90 of the buildings so that folks can see which ones they are. And then we gave them opportunity to call us directly to ask questions. So that information will all be hitting the streets soon, and you may hear some questions about it out there too, but we're happy to answer any more questions about this step in the process if you have any. Thank you.
Leah, this is Jerry. The period of significance stops at 1937, is that right?
That's correct. The current period of significance ends at 1937. One of the other recommendations from the consultant is to apply to the National Park Service to expand the period of significance to 1980. So that may be a future preservation activity. This is our first step.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that because the world didn't stop in 1937. Thank you, Leah.
Leah, this is Rebecca. This is great. I wanted to know, did the mailer go out to just the people who would be added to the district or everyone within the district?
Just to the 90 people.
Because the reason why I ask that, you know, I think we've talked a lot about the education and kind of lack of awareness about the COA process in this area more generally. And I wondered if, and I would imagine the mailer has already gone out, but I think everyone in the neighborhood could benefit from receipt of this information.
I don't disagree. There are nearly 3,000 buildings in this district. So I will talk to the powers that be about sending out a letter to every property owner. It's actually, believe it or not, in the zoning ordinance is not a requirement to send out any letters for a text amendment. So the 90 that we're doing is, and we hope at the neighborhood association meeting, and we are also creating, I think as we mentioned to you, we're creating that that webinar that we're going to put out by Preservation Month, but we plan to repeat it frequently about the COA process and the district boundaries and all those sorts of things to help disseminate the information more widely about where the local boundaries are and what that means. But thank spread you. The word.
Yes.
I know you live there, so.
Well, and I'm eager to get on. I'd like to join that April 6th neighborhood call. And maybe I'll talk to you offline about who the contact is.
Yeah, it's the Neighborhood Association. President is Gloria Williams. I'm happy to send out that information to all the board members if you want to call her and get on that conference call. They're literally doing it by phone. So we actually had Gloria pick up about 50 of those brochures in addition to the ones that we mailed out. And she was going to hand them out to the sort of typical 50 people that come to the meeting beforehand, people who don't have email or internet access and that sort of thing. So there are some paper copies that she's out there handing out as well.
Gotcha.
Thank you. We're pretty excited about this next step. It's long overdue. So. I think your mic's off. Is your mic off? Is your mic off?
I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button because I was sneezing. The next item on the agenda is the adjournment. Our next meeting is a pre-meeting on Wednesday, April 28th, 2021 at 2:30 p.m. The next regular meeting is Wednesday, April 28th, 2021 at 3 p.m. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
This is Haley Swindle. I'll second.
Thank you. Have a good week. Enjoy this pollen inundated weather.
Thank you, everyone. See you next month.